for those of you that don't know me, my name is Nicole Greger.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, so I am an intern here with Dayton Chi Alpha. So if you guys remember Jay talking a couple weeks ago, him and I are the two interns here. And loving doing the internship, loving hanging out with you guys.
Hi, Andrea.
So for those of you that may not know, I am originally from Kent State. Anybody like Kent State? Okay, yeah, I like Kent State. So I went to Kent State and got my degree in public health, and clearly I'm not using it, and so I'm excited to tell you why. So, awesome. So if you guys have seen on our Facebook or social media, tonight is our missions night, and I am so excited to get to share with you God's heart for the world and his heart for missions, and that translates into being our heart for missions too. And so I want to give you a little bit of a backstory of how I got called into missions, and then I'm super excited to bring down a couple of our seniors just to share how the Lord is going to be using them after they graduate or after they leave Wright State. So does that sound good? Okay. Awesome. So for those of you that don't know, I didn't really grow up in a Christian home. I thought I was Christian, and then I really became Christian and realized I wasn't Christian, if that makes any sense. Some of you know, yeah, Jasmine knows what I'm talking about. And so I think that I learned more about Jesus in my first year of college than I did my whole 18 prior years of life. So I don't know if any of you guys feel that way, but I got plugged in with Chi Alpha immediately at Kent State, and that transformed my life. It truly transformed my life. And so I started out as a nursing major, and I had plans to be single and to be a traveling nurse and make a ton of money and to do whatever I wanted to do and live in fun tropical places. And so I'm still living in Ohio, so we know that that didn't turn out. And I also am engaged, so we know that that didn't turn out as well. And that is so much for the better. But anyways, my sophomore year in Chi Alpha at Kent State, we went on a mission trip to inner city Milwaukee, and I came back from that trip, and I was wrecked, and I met with our campus pastor, who you might know, her name's Raylan Cook, and I told her, hey, I don't want to be a nurse, I don't want to be anything, I just want to take the gospel to people, because that trip totally showed me how important it was that people knew Jesus, and that I realized that there was nothing on earth or anywhere else that was more important than knowing Jesus. And not worth the money, not worth the plans. Jesus was worth everything. And so I told her I was going to drop out of school, and I was going to become a missionary. I was going to move overseas. And she said, hey, honey, pump the brakes. let's just talk about this for a minute. And so I did actually finish with my degree. At that time, I knew I was called into ministry, but I had no idea what. I thought maybe I would be a traveling nurse, or I would do something. And just a fun side note, when I was a nursing major in my A&P book, I can't stand the sight of blood or like guts or muscles or anything like that. And so I used to put sticky notes on my textbook pages. This is a true story. Like, I would carry sticky notes with me in class and put them over the notes so I didn't have to look at like the body parts. And I still thought I wanted to be a nurse. So, yeah, the Lord is sovereign though, right? So, it all worked out in the end. I'm not a nurse. But anyways, and I still can't look at body parts, so it's totally fine. But all that to say, the Lord totally redirected my path towards him. And so, so I graduated from Kent State. It was nearing the end of my senior year, and I said, I want to do ministry, and I have no idea what I want to do. Should I hop a plane? Should I go to a church somewhere? What should I do? And my campus pastors presented me with the opportunity to do something called a give a year. And so if you've been in Chi Alpha, you've maybe heard the saying, give a year and pray about a lifetime. If you were at the World Mission Summit, you probably heard it a couple times. And my campus pastors challenged me, hey, pray about this. And so I did. And I just felt like, you know, this is the right thing to do. And so I think, like, you'll hear from other people, my parents thought, what? Like, you just went to college and got a degree, and now you're going to volunteer for a year? You know, all those silly things that parents say. They're well-meaning things. Silly parents, you know. But, no, they're really well-meaning and loving. But so you're going to hear some stories like that tonight. But that wasn't the easiest conversation. But once again, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is good. He softens hearts, right? So anyways, so the end of my year is coming, and I didn't know what I wanted to do again. Have you guys ever been in that boat where you're like, what am I doing with my life? Yeah, I got some hands back there. Right. So anyways, my campus pastor said, hey, I'd like you to pray about staying on staff with us for like 5 years. And 5 years is kind of a big commitment. And you know what? I prayed. Jasmine's like, mm-hmm. You know what? I prayed about it. And you know what my answer was? Yeah, I mean, you already kind of know what my answer was. My answer was, well, I don't have a reason not to. People are like, and I want to tell you this because I want you to understand something, that I believe that the Lord speaks in dreams, and I believe that he speaks in an audible voice sometimes, and I believe that he speaks loud and clear to us. But I got to tell you that my obedience to the calling of ministry was just something he placed in my heart, that I didn't hear this clear direction of, you are supposed to do this for 5 years. You know, I didn't hear that, but I had a peace from the Lord in my heart. And so I want to encourage you in that, that maybe you're feeling that, that the Lord does speak in those ways. That's truth. But sometimes it's just a call of obedience, right? So anyways, so I said yes. Well, I said, I don't see why not. And so now I'm here doing the internship with you guys. I just want to tell you that it has truly been a blessing to get to know each and every one of you during my internship year. I can never have imagined the impact that this year would have on my life. And I'm telling you the truth that I will leave here a completely different person than how I came in so many different ways, in ministry and in personal life as well. And so I just want to share one quick story with you guys about something that actually happened like 8 hours ago that is a direct result of this internship. So I went to the eye doctor this morning, and that's why I'm wearing contacts. If you guys haven't noticed, I'm not wearing my glasses like I normally am. Anyways, I went to the optometrist, and I sat in the seat, and the guy was a little bit, like, socially awkward, you know, which is fine. Like, I was like, okay, I can handle this, you know. And then he saw in the paper that my work description was missionary, and so he started firing questions at me, firing them. And he was like, well, what would you say to somebody that believes this? And what would you say to somebody that believes that? And how do you know that the Bible is true? Can you give me? And I'm like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, like, I have not had any coffee, like, what is going on? And I'm sitting there, and, like, my exam hasn't happened yet, so I can't leave, okay? I'm like, oh, gosh. So turns out, and I tell this guy everything that I learned from the internship, and I can tell you a year ago, I would have sat there and probably cried and been like, don't make fun of me, you know? Like, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know, like, you know? And so a year ago, I would have been, like, hitting the panic mode, and he even said to me, hey, you're not even sweating. And I was like, hey, I'm not, you know, because I was shocked too. But the reality is that the internship has prepared me for real world experiences just like that. So we're called to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have anywhere and anytime, even in the optometrist office in Beaver Creek Walmart at 10 a.m., right? So here's how the story pans out. Basically, didn't know this guy is like, super awesome Christian dude. He just wanted to see if I could come up with the answers. And he said, you know, a lot of people that would sit in this seat wouldn't be able to say that. And he was really impressed. And you know what? He didn't charge me for my exam. How crazy, right? That's the Lord's blessing. So just one tangible real world example of what the internship has done in my life. You know, just being able to have legit feet to stand on and say, hey, I have a reason for the faith that I have, and I can explain it to you, and I can explain to you the credibility and the validity of the Bible, right? And a ton of other good stuff I don't have time to tell you, but talk to me sometime. I would love to share with you just my experience of being here. So that's where I'm at, and then after the internship, just to end this little season, I am excited. I'm getting married, so that's really fun. Thanks, guys. And excited to do life and mission with Hader. And we are committed to 5 years at Kent State because why not? And so you'll get to see us at fun ministry events. I'm really looking forward to that. So anyways, enough about me. So I just want to share a little bit of my heart for mission with you guys before I bring the seniors down. And so just a quick question. How many of you guys have a five-year plan for your life? Wow. Okay. So this is like, if you can't see, this is what people are doing. Okay, how many of you guys straight up are like, I do not have a five-year plan for my life? Wow, those hands are going up. Wow. Those hands are like the loud and proud hands, like good cheerleader hands. Woo, awesome. Cool. Okay, so raise your hand if you want a five-year plan. Yeah? If I could tell you right now the next 5 years of your life, would you want to know? No. Yeah, okay, some of you are saying yeah. Wouldn't it be kind of nice to know at least what's on the horizon in the next 5 years, what you're supposed to do in your life? Brianna's shaking her head, yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I really, really wanted to know. I remember getting a journal for my college graduation. That's like, what was it? Oh, like the Lord's plan for you is to prosper, and you know that awesome verse? Yeah, and I was like, can you write the Lord's plan for me in the journal and give it to me? I was like, the journal's nice, but this isn't helping, you know? So, okay, so most of you, I think, said, hey, I would actually like to know, right? Yeah, Rebecca, I wish people could see Rebecca's face. She's like, heck yeah. What if I could tell you what you're supposed to do for the rest of your life? Would you want to know? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the front row is like, yes, I'd like to know. Okay, I have good news for you. I know what you're supposed to do in the rest of your life. Yeah, no, I really do. Do you want to know? Okay, open your Bible. Gotta get mine out. Oh, Jasmine, I love you. Okay, we're going to Matthew. Can you guys get there? Can you guys give me like a holler when you get there? Oh, wow, that's good stuff, man. Good. Okay. We are going to Matthew 28. Can you get there? Holla at me when you're there. Okay, Matthew 28:18. Holla when you're there. Awesome. All right, I'm going to read this to you. I'm reading from the NIV. And you guys actually should pay attention to this because this is legitimately God's plan for your life. Okay, are you ready? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Ooh, that's good stuff, right? Congratulations, you know God's plan for your life. That was really simple, right? You don't have to take those Facebook quizzes. Like, you just straight up know. Just in a couple verses, but it might have taken you 20 minutes on Facebook. Here you go. So I just want to encourage you guys with a couple truths tonight. Okay, that is truly God's plan for your life. Okay? And so no matter what we do, we have the privilege to partake in the Father's business. So right here, we clearly can see that this is the Father's will. And some of us will go and we'll be missionaries, and you're going to hear a little bit about that tonight, okay? Because we believe that every student, what? Goes, right? Right, okay? And then some of us are going to be called to the marketplace, and we're going to be those people that give and that send those missionaries and that pray for those missionaries and that are reaching the people that God has surrounded or put around us, right? So here's the reality. No matter what, we have the opportunity to do missions, right? We're called to do that. We are called to make disciples. And so whether that means we're going or whether that means we're sending, we all have the privilege to partake in the Great Commission that the Lord has asked us to do, right? That's good stuff. So how many of you guys were at the World Mission Summit? Cool. A lot of you. So one of my favorite things that I learned at the World Mission Summit, I learned a lot. Do you guys remember the speaker that was saying the person – really, like, they asked a student, hey, do you want to go on a fishing trip? And he was like, yeah. And then he was like, do you want to go on a mission trip? And he was like, let me pray about that. Do you guys remember that? I loved that. Okay. So he said something really important I think we need to, like, totally take to heart. Is he said, he was joking. He was like, that is like praying, Lord, is it your will for me to do your will? Isn't that, like, kind of silly? Yeah. Yeah, I thought so. So just the reality that, like, this is the Lord's will for us. And it is exciting, you guys, to partake in our Father's business. It's something exciting. It's not a burden. It's something that we have the pleasure and the joy to do and the privilege, okay? And so, just last, I just want to say, some of you may be staying here tonight, and you might be like, hey, that sounds really great, but I'm a freshman, and I'm getting my degree, and I'm not going to think about dropping out of school like you did, and these seniors are awesome, but I'm going to study. So thank you, and I will think about that in 4 years. But there's good news for you too, right? And so the Lord, I want to read this verse for you. You don't have to find it. You can if you want. It's Acts 17:26. It says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Whoa. Like, can we just let that sink in for a minute? That the Lord has determined the exact place and time people should live? Like, God determined that you should be living in whatever age you are in 2017, and you should be going to Wright State and living in Fairborn, Ohio? Like, how sovereign, how good is our God? But it extends farther than just us. So think about it. How many international students do you think we have on Wright State's campus? Yeah. Okay, around 2,000, 3,000. That's true. Okay. So God has, in his sovereignty, determined that those students would come from their home countries to live among us, right? We didn't have to buy a plane ticket. We didn't have to go and spend a year somewhere. We didn't have to do anything. We literally just had to go to class. Doesn't that blow your mind? The Lord is making it so easy for us that he's bringing people to our doorstep. Do any of you guys know my friend Haura? You might imagine. Yeah. Okay. So she's from a city in Saudi Arabia, and it's called Qatif. And I just want you guys to understand the reality that it is actually illegal for Americans to go to Qatif because it is so dangerous. And it has been that way for multiple years, that you cannot get a plane. You cannot go into Qatif, that there are people checking at the border. It is a ban from the American government that has been longstanding because Qatif is so dangerous. So God has brought somebody from Qatif, Saudi Arabia, to Wright State University, a place that we could never go even if we wanted to. Saudi Arabia is hard enough to get in with a legit visa. You can't get there. So God has totally brought them here for us. And God has not just brought them here to come to school at Wright State, but God has brought them here to be known by him, right? So for every international student you see, understand that, yes, they are here to study, but they are here to know Jesus if they don't already. God has brought them here to live among us and that we may live among them. He has predetermined the times that we will be here, right? He has designated us to be here, to go to class, to eat, to study with people that don't know him so that they might, right? Isn't that encouraging to you? That you can do missions starting tonight. Like Catherine said, make the most of these last 12 days. When you go to class tomorrow, look around you and praise the Lord that he has brought people of all nations to sit in the seats that you sit in, right? Nations that we can't even physically get to if we wanted to. Okay, so I just want to encourage you guys that missions doesn't just start when you graduate, but mission starts now. And that is a privilege. That is a joy that we have. So let's just do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission while we're here at Wright State, that we're not just making friends of international students, but we're making disciples, right? We are making disciples who will make disciples in their home countries, and they will make disciples here in the United States as well. Okay, isn't that encouraging? That's something we can do today. So awesome. And now I would like to invite our friends down. So we have the privilege of hearing from some of our seniors, and that would be Adam. Adam's looking like, yeah. And Emily and Cameron. So I thought it'd be really good for you guys just to hear some tangible ways that the Lord is using them in ministry. And so these people might have been your circuit leaders, they might have been your classmates, they might just be your friends. But they did their part in fulfilling the Great Commission while they were here at the university, right? They were discipling people. They were sharing about Jesus. And so we are excited for you just to hear how the Lord's going to continue that in their life. So awesome. Okay. So I've just got some questions for them. If you have other questions that you want to hear them answer, you can do that after service time. There'll be plenty of time to talk. Okay, guys. So, hi. Thank you for being on the panel. Great. Okay. So, can you guys just go through, say your name, your hometown, and kind of how you got to Wright State, how you got involved in Chi Alpha?
I'm Adam Ramsey. I'm from Brookville, Ohio, and I'm a creative writing poetry major. And I got involved with Chi Alpha at Bill's Donuts when I met like Derek Reed and Nir like a long time ago, and yeah, here I am now.
I'm Cameron Summers. I'm from Byesville, Ohio. I'm a mass communication major, and I got involved with Chi Alpha by actually when I was a senior in high school, I went to the AG church camp and met Steve Brannan. He talked up Wright State, and Chi Alpha talked up Andy. So I came. My first Wednesday on campus. I came, and I've been involved ever since.
My name's Emily Swain. Hey. I'm from Peebles. They're a really tiny place in southern Ohio. I came to Wright State randomly. Mainly, I was going to go to Tennessee, actually. I was pretty set on it. And then I'm like, I can't move that far away. And so Wright State had a good business program, so I came here. Funny enough, I wasn't a business major after my first year, but yeah.
Cool. Psychology.
Yeah. Awesome. And so the next question I just have for them is, when did you guys feel like the Lord was calling you to do missions? So the missions that you're going to go do, not just campus missions.
I have the mic, so I'll start. I guess it started like back my freshman year here at Wright State when I went to Fall Breakaway, which is the fall retreat, if you guys don't know, that Chi Alpha does. That was like the first time I'd ever heard God speak to me, which was really awesome. And he called me into ministry right there. I just didn't know like what it was going to look like. So for the past 4 years, I've been like carrying that calling around, like praying about it. Like, I don't know like what I'm supposed to do with this, but God, you're preparing me. So I have spent the last like 4 years just praying and trying to like take opportunities to prepare myself for ministry. And then I got more of a clear direction for at least the next year of my life. Beyond that, I don't know. But for the next year, I think about a year ago, God had really laid on my heart. So.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Was I supposed to say, like, what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't.
No, that's
fine. So I plan on doing the Chi Alpha internship come Ooh. Fall, and I will be doing that in Texas.
Yeehaw.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes, I was asked to repeat the question, just in case you didn't. Okay, when did you realize that the Lord was asking you to do missions, and what's the mission that you're planning on going on? Where are you planning on going?
I'm planning on going to Taiwan for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I really felt that call, not necessarily to Taiwan originally, but to Asia this past Fall Breakaway. I kind of was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Put that on the back burner. Went to the World Mission Summit, and I really felt like I was. He was like, "No, you're gonna do this." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So, I wasn't sure when I was gonna graduate. Actually, my major required 124 credits up until this year. They took 4 off, so I can graduate this summer now. So I thought I was gonna have to come back in the fall, but I'm gonna be done in the summer and. Really fits a really nice timetable for me now. Not like my timetable matters, but.
That's kind of a hard question for me to answer sometimes because I came from a background, like a family background with a lot of missionaries and a lot of pastors. So I've always thought about it, like even when I was a kid, like that was an option. But I also went through a lot of periods where I just didn't want to do it at all because it sounded hard and frightening. Like, because my grandpa went to Africa, and, like, I just heard a bunch of stories I just didn't want to deal with. And I really like fast food and American amenities. So I was like, I'm staying here. So But I think over time, I just kind of like, and I never really like felt like I never had a direct like, you know, God didn't split the skies and was like, Adam, you must go abroad. So I just kind of decided to like take God up on it and just say like, all right, we'll go. I mean, I don't really know what else to do. I didn't want to get a job afterward because that sounded awful. So I was just like, if you ask Colton and Eric, like, they know I was just like complaining about not wanting to go to Estonia. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, I should go to Estonia. And eventually I was just like, I might as well. Like, and I took the risk. Anyway, I'm going to Estonia. Like, why not? So I'm going to Estonia in a year I'm going to be there for 2 years.
Awesome. Yeah, you can keep the mic. Okay, just a couple more questions. What's your next step look like? Kind of after you felt the call, like, did you tell your parents? Did you not tell them? Are you not telling them? Kind of what are you raising support right now? What does that process look like for you?
After I decided, I called my parent. I called my mom and told her that I was thinking about it. And after that, like, I didn't receive like a ton of support. My mom was just like, make sure that you're doing the right thing. That was pretty much all she said. Not in a bad way. Like, my parents love me, but they weren't like super excited about me saying I wanted to be a missionary. But after that point, once I actually decided that I was going to seriously consider it, I sought counsel from like my uncle who is a missionary, like godly counsel, and I told my parents. I started the application process, and now currently I'm in the approval process. I'm still waiting on approval, and eventually I will be able to raise support.
Great, cool, dude. So, Cameron, what did that look like for you after you decided that you were going to go?
After I decided, I gave it like probably 4 days. Of just like praying about it and like, okay, like praying about praying about going to the call that I've been already called to do.
Yeah,
type thing.
Totally. We were late.
And then, I wanted to tell my parents in person, but it wasn't going to work out. I wasn't going to be home for like another month. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, that's kind of a long time to wait to tell my parents. I should probably tell them. So I called and told them, and they were just kind of like, oh, okay. Well, we support you. And that was about as much feedback as I got the first phone call. They've been real supportive ever since that first phone call, when it kind of was just like a shock, I would say, mm-hmm. for them. But right now, I'm in step 3 out of 4 in the application process. You only fill out the application once, then you have to go through steps. Yeah. So I'm in the third step. And once I get through all the steps, I can start raising funds. So
cool. Awesome. All right. And what does that look like for you right now?
All right. So God had been dealing with me, like I said, for like a year to do the internship. And I like am the worst at just like saying yes to God immediately. So I'll be the first to admit that. So I kind of like thought about it for a while, prayed on it. Like, God, do you really want me to do this? Like, do you really want me to? And so I think I like talked to a couple of my friends, but it wasn't like, I'm going to do this. And so I think I spent like the summer just kind of like thinking about it. And then come fall, I think was when I actually told Heather that I was going to the internship. But I'd went back and forth so many times. I was like, not doing it, going home after graduation, get a job, live my life. And then like all the way back to the other extreme, like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. And so finally it was like, I'm going to do it, but I put a stipulation on it, which you shouldn't do. I'll do it, but I'm going to stay in Dayton because I don't want to go away. And so my problem is I'm a homebody. Like, I love being home. I love my family. Like, where I come from, like, you're there and, like, nobody moves away, especially my family. It's just like, you're there, and if you move away, like, what are you doing? So I was like, I'll just stay in Dayton, you know, close. I'm in Ohio. And then when I got to the World Mission Summit, God brought it back. Like, okay, you need to go to Texas. Like, that's where you need to go. So finally, I surrendered. You should always do that first. Just go for it. It's much easier. Exactly. But, so I decided. And at this point, like, I had told my mom that I was going to do the internship, but she thought I was going to do it in Dayton. And so she was, like, fine with it. Like, okay, that's fine. I have a really supportive mom. But, yeah, so then after I, like, decided to go to Texas, I, like, kind of freaked out. And I told Heather, and I told some of my friends here, and I was like, all right, I want to go to Texas. And then, like, it was a couple weekends before I went home. And so I'm like, this weekend, I'm going to tell my mom. And I went home, and then I came back, and I told Heather, I'm like, so I chickened out, and I didn't tell my mom. And, like, not that I was worried she was, like, going to be mad, but, like, I just didn't want to leave her. My brother's getting ready to graduate, too, and so I don't know what he's doing with his life, so I don't want to just leave my mom. And so then the next weekend came around, I'm like, I'm going to tell. I'm going to do it. So I even told my cousin, so then I knew that I would have to do it, because if I didn't, then eventually it would get back to her, because my family's super close. And so I was, like, sitting on the couch, and my mom was sitting on the other end of the couch, and we were watching Fixer Upper, and and I'm going to University of North Texas, and so we were, like, watching it. There was this road sign that comes up that said North Texas, and, like, all these just different Texas things. I'm like, I just need to tell her. I just need to tell her. But, like, I couldn't bring myself to tell her. And then, like, random thing, like, I'm in contact with people from down there now after I've decided to do it. And so this girl calls me, and, like, she's on staff down there. And so she calls me, and we were talking about something, and then she's like, you're the one that is going to do the internship, right? And I'm like, yeah, but, like, mind you, my mom's, like, beside me on the couch. So, like, I'm talking to this girl, and she's, like, asking me questions, like, why I decided to go down there. And it was super awkward. And so then when I hung up the phone, I'm like, I have to tell my mom. So I looked at her. I'm like, so I think I muted the TV and everything. And I told her, and she's like, okay. Like, she asked me a couple questions, and she was, like chill about it. And I'm like, I, like, hyped myself up for nothing. But, like, I don't know. That's about it. My next step. So I've already applied. I'm just waiting for approval. And then after I get approval from, like, National Chi Alpha, it'll go to Texas. And pretty confident that they're going to accept me. I've been talking to their directors a lot and everything, so pretty confident. But with this MIT, if you don't know, you get options. So, like, you can choose which school you want to go to, and you have, like, up to 6 options. So you list them in order of where you want to go. So if they don't accept me, then it'll just go to my second one until I get accepted, or if I don't. But I'm pretty sure. So,
yes, you will.
Yeah, and then after I get accepted, then I start support raising.
Yeah. Awesome. What a fun story. All right, I got 2 more questions for them. Are you guys okay? Yeah? Awesome. All right, the next question is, are you guys ready? I just want to make sure I was ready. Okay. what's one piece of advice that you would give somebody that is considering if they are called to do overseas missions or missions outside of the marketplace? What's one piece of advice, maybe something you wish you would have knew a couple years ago?
I think if you're, like, thinking, if you feel like God is telling you, even if you're, like, 50% sure, like, confide in somebody, your circuit leader or somebody on staff or somebody who's really grounded in their faith, because it really helps when you have somebody praying with you and somebody who's, like, willing to listen to you and just listen for guidance for your life. It's super important. And then when God tells you and you know that you know that you know that that's God, like, listen. Don't be wishy-washy on it. Don't put stipulations on it, because it's so much easier if you just listen the first time.
Piece of advice I would have is, even if you're not sure if it's just a possibility in the back of your head, get involved in just, not just with Chi Alpha, but anything you can do to reach people. I was not super involved in reaching people my first 3 semesters. So if I could go back, I would definitely just talk to people, develop friendships. Friendships are what people are looking for all over this university. So if you feel missions is even just a slight possibility, if you work hard at developing relationships and friendships, it makes it that much easier down the road.
For me, I definitely, I guess, just want to say that things are going to be hard whether you do missions or not. Sorry, this sounds a little pessimistic, but that's like that's what life is. It's like it's all about like overcoming challenges, right? And so like for me, because I didn't have a clear, you know, direct word about whether or not I'm going to go to missions, I had to make like a lot of decisions that would make my family and myself pretty uncomfortable for the next 3 years of my life. And that's going to be like me raising a budget for me to live on for 2 years. And that stuff is hard, but the people do it all the time. And when you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know whether or not I should do this or not, like it's hard to say why not when you're dealing with thousands of dollars that you don't have yet. But those things just like rest in the fact that other people do that all the time. And another thing, like Cameron said, you don't have to do missions like abroad. And you should start here. So that means, like, even if you don't feel like you're supposed to go, perhaps, maybe you just feel like you should go into the marketplace, you should practice here to give, like, practice giving here. Yeah. You know, there's plenty of opportunities to do that, whether or not that's through giving to missions, making missions pledges, or, you know, you'll find people like us, I'm sure, as you go through your years in Chi Alpha that are going, making long-term commitments that you can support yourself. Yeah. And another thing is if you feel like you're supposed to, you know, go eventually at some point, and you may not, for me, I guess the biggest thing that I wish I could have overcome earlier was just my tendency to be pretty introverted and not, like, go, I'm not much of a, you know, go out and talk to people kind of person, start conversations. But missions doesn't always have to look like that. If you could like sit down and like have a nice conversation with one person and then just try to keep having that conversation throughout your entire semester, that is when you can start speaking into their life and doing things for them, taking them out to dinner. It doesn't have to be like, you know, cold turkey, just like walking up to people and be like, you need Jesus. Let me tell you how to get it. So like that's not necessarily what you have to do all the time. So long story short, take risks, but make sure that you think it through, seek counsel, etc. Yeah, calculated risks.
That's really good advice, you guys. All right, last question for you. How can we be praying for you guys?
I need money. lots and lots of money. I haven't started support raising yet. So if you could just pray that once that time comes and I get approved, pray that the approval process happens a lot faster than it's going right now. Just pray that I get a full budget. and then just pray for Estonia. Pray that, you know, things over there are safe, because I know there's some issues with Russia possibly happening. But, yeah, that would be fantastic. And for me, definitely for me. So.
I need money as well, not as much as him. But I'm not approved either. So just pray that the approval process happens and that I'm able to just be able to get over there, because once I get over there, I'll need your prayers while I'm over there. But right now, I need prayers to get over there. So that's my prayer request.
I also need money, and I also need approval. But also just smooth transition when I go. I know I'm not going overseas, but like spending like 10 months away from home, which is like pretty significant for me. To be away from my family, so just a smooth transition.
We can definitely be praying for those things. We're going to pray for them in just 1 second, but I want to tell you a story of one more senior. He graduated last semester. Some of you may know him, but I want to let you know that he went into the marketplace. He didn't go on a mission field per se, but he is still living for Jesus where he's at. And he is supporting missionaries, me being one of them, monthly, so that we can go on the mission field that God's called us to do. And so that is so important. That's like a tangible example. He came from Dayton, Chi Alpha. So you guys probably know who I'm talking about. But yeah, everyone's like, mm-hmm. So I called him and said, thank you so much for your support. And he said, how did you know it was me? So just like his heart of humility. So that's why I'm not saying his name, because I didn't ask his permission. But just know that people are still locking that out even when they leave these doors. And so if you know who I'm talking about, which you all do, just don't tell them. I'm just kidding. Okay. Okay, thank you. Dimitri lives with him. Okay. Can you guys just stand really quick? Can we just quickly pray for our friends here? Can you guys maybe reach out a hand, or if you even want to come down, that's great. Jesus, I just thank you for the call that you have put on Emily's life and Cameron's life and Adam's life. God, I thank you so much that you have equipped them with the knowledge of your will and what you have planned for their lives, God. Lord, we lift them up to you, and we ask, God, that you would make the money come in. God, that you would provide for their every need. Lord, I pray that you would raise up supporters that support them more than they even need. God, that they would live in abundance. Lord, God, I pray that as well that you would help with the process, God, that you would be with them as their applications are being processed. God, I pray that you would give them peace and just knowing that you have this all taken care of. God, I pray that when they go to the places that they are going, God, that they would make disciples that love to share you. God, that they would be encouraged, that they would grow themselves, and that they would grow people in the knowledge of you, in the love of you that are around them. God, we thank you so much for the call, the specific call that you put on each one of their lives. God, we bless them in every way as they go out. Thank you, Jesus.